Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 8 o'clock. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette coming up at 8:30. So looking forward to all of that. Right now talking Titans. Joe, we talked a lot about Levis this week since he's taken over as the starting quarterback for the Titans. And we're going to continue to discuss that. And I stand by what I said yesterday. I mean, the rest of this season, to me, is about Levis. And it's about his development and how you're feeling about him at the end of the year. Now, along with that, I do think there is more information that we're going to find out that is needed to find out on a couple other guys as well. So as you start to map out the future of what this team is going to be and who's going to be the weapons that Will Levis has it at his disposal in the offense, I think it's fair to say that Chig Okonkwo and Treylon Burks have not lived up to expectations this year. Okonkwo, you know, he's at least been available and has been on the field and has played. He has not been the factor in the passing game this year that I thought he would be. And Burks, partly because he's not been on the field, but partly because when he has been, it's not been very productive. He's been a shell of what I thought he would be this year in the offense. I mean, we were throwing the question around, and I remember, like, the text line, it was basically like 50-50. Who will have more yards this year, DeAndre Hopkins or Treylon Burks? And, I mean, right now, it's a hilarious question to even think back and evaluate there. Burks, obviously, hurt again against Pittsburgh. A really scary-looking injury. Glad that it didn't end up being as bad as it looked. However, it is another concussion, and Vrabel did confirm that he lost consciousness on that play. That's the second year in a row that he's had a pretty bad-looking concussion. We remember the Philadelphia game last year where he took the headshot in the end zone. So if you're the Titans, and let's just start with Burks on this front, because to me, he's the most important part of this equation when it comes to the weapons for the Titans moving forward here. You're talking about a first-round pick, a wide receiver who I think everybody sees has ability, right? Like, we've seen him in games go up, make some big plays down the field, whether that was the Green Bay game last year, the 70-yarder this year to the Chargers. We just haven't seen really much other than that. Like, there's not much consistency. Right now, not much production at all from Treylon Burks. So, with the injuries and the lack of production, how concerned should the Titans be? And are we getting close to being to the point where it's hard to rely on Treylon Burks being a significant part of the Titans' future based on what we've seen to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think getting there, I'm not there yet. I know I saw somebody this week say, you know, Burks is about to retire. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I still believe in his talent. I think it's concerning beyond the injuries that Vrabel says stuff about details still. You know, make a comment like that this far into his career. I know it's a new offense and all that, but, you know, he knew. I mean, you go back to the beginning where there was some lack of awareness on his part in terms of, like, the kind of shape you have to be in, regardless of the asthma. And then just one little comment, I was like, that made me, my ear, you know, that perked my ears up a little bit. Like, man, that shouldn't be something Vrabel talks about. Vrabel gushes, and as we know, Vrabel does not gush about individuals very much, but like NWI, he'll you ask him about him, he'll tell you about all the details that he knows, every little thing. It's right there in the same room. So there's no reason that you, as Treylon Burks, shouldn't be doing exactly all the same stuff. And we all know that you're a lot more talented than NWI. All due respect to NWI. I feel like NWI is catching some strays today. But, you know, that's just the reality.
21 miles an hour, he's more talented than we thought.
Well, yeah. I mean, just the physicality, all that. There's one of them was a first-round pick. One of them was an undrafted free agent who was a surprise, you know, roster make his first year here in Nashville. Like, you have a model for you right there. Like, this is – do what that guy does, and then your talent will enable you to be a great player in this league.
Yep.
Now, that's the performance side of it. The injury side of it is the bigger deal still. And, look, it just happens to some people. Some people just cannot stay healthy in this league, and he may end up being one of those guys, you know. So – if he can get past that stuff, then I still think that he can be a very good player. I think he can be a certainly like a good two in the NFL, like a good part of a combination of starting receivers who can make plays and be a threat. But can he be consistent? You know, I don't know. There's still a lot of question. It's way too early to give up on him. I guarantee you there will be text on the text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com that are like, I'm done with him. Done. Yeah. Get him out. Forget it. So it's the same stuff people were saying about Kyle Phillips. I mean, Kyle Phillips can play. You know, injuries can delay careers. It's not time for that, but it is definitely time to be concerned.
Well, he's played in 16 games. So there is a 16-game worth of sample size for Burks to this point.
Which should be a full season.
Which should be a full season. He's got 41 catches for 566 yards and one touchdown so far in his career. When you break that down, it's right about 35 yards per game. That's not good enough. It's not close.
No.
That's not a good two. It's maybe a three. Maybe. In the NFL. So, I agree with you. The injuries are the most concerning part. There's no question about that because from the concussions to the knee, and that's the other thing. You know, he played through it the other night. He was clearly hurt before the concussion, right? I mean, he's limping around out there, and it looked like the leg was flaring up on him again or the knee was flaring up on him again. So, you got the injury part of it is the chief concern to me for sure. But also on the field, like, I'm concerned about that. Like, when he's been out there, he's not getting open. He's not catching the ball. He's not being a factor in the game. He's made one play this year. And I know, you know, he's got eight catches. He's made one play this year. He had 70 yards on one play. His total for the season is eight catches, 122 yards. So take away that 170-yarder, and what do you have?
I mean, 7 for 52, yeah, it's 7 yards a catch.
It's not good. So I'm with you on the injuries being the top concern, but I'm concerned at this point well beyond that with Burks. Like, the production on the field is not close to what you need from a first-round pick, and that to me is – now, how much does that have to do with the injuries? How much is he still playing through when he's out there? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but – like, if you're healthy enough to be on the field, he's got to find a way to be more productive than he's been.
Yeah, and I do not want to make excuses for him, but it does seem like that what appeared to be a disastrous knee injury in Minnesota, from that point on, it changed things. How much do you care about practice? You know, it has its limitations. He was dominating out there. Now, again, okay, you're dominating – SMB, Christian Fulton, you know, there was some good battles, but I mean, he was making plays at their expense downfield constantly.
Right.
Those aren't great corners, but they're starting NFL corners. Like, that kind of performance in practice should translate to some extent to the field. Then he has the knee injury in Minnesota. So, yeah, I'm sure that's part of the issue, but if you're out there, I mean, like, you know, you make the 70-yard play. Looked like he was running fine on that play. So, it's a concern for sure. I you know, the question is, you know, well, first of all, can he get back on the field and get going in a positive direction? You know, he started to do that as a rookie. He had that great game at Green Bay, you know, the last time the Titans won away from Nashville.
Yep.
And there were some positive signs from last year, but – if that doesn't happen this year, I mean, I still think you go in the offseason like you're including him in your plans. I mean, he's a first-round pick, but I wonder if that makes you think a little bit differently about other moves you might make, you know, if you don't see something from him before this season ends.
Well, if you don't see something from him before this season ends, I agree with you. Like, they're not moving on from him, I don't think. Like, it's a first-round pick. And he does have ability. Like, you've got to see if you can harness that if you're the Titans. Now, having said that, I think if you get through the end of this season and there's been really no signs of life from Burks in terms of being a productive player for you, relying on him moving forward I think would be a mistake. I'm not saying moving on from him, but relying on him being an answer for you moving forward would be a mistake. And I do think it changes, like, your approach in the offseason. Like, if Burks comes out this year and was really good and you've got Hopkins under contract next year, you've got Burks that you feel great about after this season, Well, to me, that changes how you approach wide receiver next year. I mean, you need a left tackle. You need a lot of things with this roster. Like, if Burks doesn't show you more than he's shown you so far, I don't know how wide receiver heading into next offseason is not a huge red light flashing glaring need for your team. And I think that's where they're at right now. So we'll continue this conversation coming up next. Treylon Burks, Chig Okonkwo, what do you need to see out of them the rest of this season to feel comfortable about it if you're the Titans moving forward? And how does this affect how we view Will Levis, the weapons around him, and what we've seen from those two guys specifically so far this year? 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Also, make sure you check out our college football game of the week this Saturday on 94.9 The Fan at 11 a.m. Penn State taking on Michigan, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking Titans, throwing it out there. How important is the rest of this season for the evaluation of Treylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo? Both two, in my opinion, kind of differing levels this year, Joe, have been underwhelming in the passing offense. You know, the Burks part of this is really interesting. Number one, I do think we've talked about the lack of production. The injury part of this, from a concussion standpoint, is concerning to me. I mean, he's had two pretty nasty-looking concussions so far. How is that going to affect him as he moves forward here? The knee stuff, all those things. Like, firstly, you just hope he gets healthy by the end of the year, and healthy where he can stack some games together, and maybe you get a little bit of a better picture of what he actually is. Because I mean, the injuries have just been a huge part of his story so far. He's struggled to stay healthy with any sort of consistency, and it feels like when he gets back out there and he's finally ready to go, all of a sudden he's got another injury that he's dealing with pretty quickly after that. So like you said, I mean, some guys are just more prone to injury than others in the NFL, and maybe he's that guy. And if that's the case, then that kind of doubles down on what I said last segment. It's hard to rely on that as you move forward here. I mean, right now, based on what we've seen from Burks, again, I'm not going the total bust route yet, and I'm not going where the Titans should give up on him, but I am to the point where it's pretty difficult for me to rely on him as a significant part of the future if I'm the Titans moving forward, until proven otherwise.
Yeah, someone on the text line, driven by WilsonCanada.com, asked, what receiver, you know, starts late? In other words, and I've lost it, of course. But so I apologize to whoever asked that question. But like, well, what name a receiver who took 2-3 years or whatever to get going in the NFL? See, the funny thing is, it used to actually be pretty common. It used to be like rookie receivers in the NFL. I mean, some of them are great, but it took a bit. I'll give you an example. Different level of pressure. But Derek Mason, our very own Derek Mason, he had 47 catches in his first 3 years.
Yep.
And then he was about to rip off 8,000-yard seasons out of 9 in his career, okay? So it does happen. Now, you know, he was a fourth-round pick, and so the scrutiny is different. He was able to kind of grow into that, and he, you know, I'd like to hear his thoughts on that, you know, and if there's any comparison there. Point being, I mean, it can happen. It does happen. It is different. It's harder when you're a first-round pick and you're brought in. By the way, after an actual great receiver here is traded away, it was unfair to him from the start. So the scrutiny is a different level. If you get through this full year and you have two seasons of either lack of production and or injuries continuing to, you know, persisting with him. Yeah, bust is, people want to jump to that word too quickly. But you're concerned, and I think you have to adjust. You have to adjust, and basically you hope that he can figure it out and stay healthy and be an asset. But in the meantime, you know you have 1 year left of Hopkins.
Yep.
And you've got to go find difference makers that you can rely on the outside to help your young quarterback. You got to protect him, and you got to give him better weapons.
I mean, I'll give you an example that's somewhat recent. and it's not a great example because there was a loaded receiver room when he kind of came into the league. But, I mean, the first 2 years for Davante Adams, there wasn't much. I mean, he had his first year, he had 38 catches for 446 yards. Second year, 50 catches, 483 yards. So, I mean, he was.
Jordy
Nelson was still there.
They had Jennings.
Like, yeah. They had Randall Cobb. Like, there's a loaded receiver room. So, yeah. It's not a great example. But, I mean, after that is kind of when he took off in his third year, and he's been one of the best handful of receivers in the league ever since then. So, it can happen. Now, having said that, like I said, Adams walks into the league, and he's got Rodgers as a quarterback, and they've got, you know, they're four or five deep in the wide receiver room. That's not the case here. You've got Hopkins here, and this is an offense and a situation for Burks where he should be thriving on the field. I mean, this is – he's getting singled up a lot. He's one-on-one. They're worried about Hopkins. They're worried about Derrick Henry. That should play into a more productive role for Burks, and we just haven't seen it to this point. So, like I said, not a very good comparison, but that's what I'm getting
by. No, that's a good one. It used to be year one, it used to be very different, you know, because college to NFL concepts were a lot farther apart.
Yeah.
Much more advanced at this level than most college offenses, and now there's actually been a lot more NFL offenses borrowing from college concepts, and so it's actually like it's a lot faster now, you know, and there's more interplay between the schemes. Not as much with, say, like Tennessee's offense. They can do some things that you can't do in the NFL. But, it is a huge end of the season for him. And if you're him, you also – I mean, you do have to be thinking about, like, can I stay healthy in this league?
Yeah.
I mean, you get knocked out in back-to-back years. Your first 2 years in the NFL, and you get knocked unconscious in games times. That's got to be concerning. So there's a lot at play there. It all when you look at the big picture of the Titans, like you have to at least in your mind, you know, Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, at least have that in your mind that like it just might not work out.
You know? LD from McMinnville says, "Good grief! When you stop and think about it, the Titans need roughly 18 to 20 draft picks or holes everywhere." This from LD from McMinnville.
I mean, there are some holes.
I don't know if it's 18 to 20, but they need a lot. There's no question about that. Need a lot. I mean, let's think about that. The premium positions, as we were talking about yesterday. Corner, I mean, they're probably going to need another corner after this year because Christian Fulton, my guess is, probably going to be gone. Wide receiver, I think they need another one of those. Obviously, they need a left tackle. They could need a left tackle and a right tackle. I mean, you can go up and down the list.
Safety.
They absolutely
need to bring in another young safety who can actually play.
I mean, here's another one that probably is not going to be high on the priority list just because of the money they've invested in the position. I mean, do you think they could use another edge rusher right now? Because I do, based on what we've seen to this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, yes, you know, I mean, Key at his number, it's okay, but you can't just keep doing that. And Landry at his number, you may be not too far down the road looking to replace that. So, yes, D-line. I mean, Autry is about done here, I'd say. So, Simmons needs help. They've got some holes.
They got some holes. A lot of them.
You stack bad drafts together, and it quickly goes the other way on you. Just like you stack good drafts together, and you can go from – you can go from terrible to pretty good pretty quickly.
I had a texter ask about free agent wide receivers. What's that going to look like? You know, realizing what I'm about to read off here, it's not going to look this way once free agency actually comes around because it's November the 5th right now. So by the time March rolls around, a lot of these guys will be signed. But Mike Evans is a free agent. Obviously, T. Higgins is scheduled to be a free agent. Tyler Boyd's a free agent. Odell Beckham, which I don't know if you'd be going back down that road if you're anybody else, especially for that money. But
my goodness.
Hardman's out there. Josh Reynolds is out there. Michael Pittman from Indy is going to be out there. Again, a lot of these guys are going to be signed, but obviously T. Higgins is the one that comes to mind for everybody. Until Cincinnati gets him signed, T. Higgins is going to be a widely talked about figure when it comes to wide receivers and free agents.
Yeah, and I agree with what Chris Collinsworth said the other day. I mean, he is a number one receiver. He's a number one receiver who just happens to play with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
So, It's in Cincinnati. They are, you know, the fans are certainly, you know, hell bent on keeping him. That's going to be really interesting. That's a big number. It's a big number for him, and the, you know, is it worth it?
Trey from Antioch says, so much for fighting hogs. I'd love to see that. I'm beginning to think it wasn't true. I do not doubt Treylon Burks hunting the hogs with his bare hands.
Yeah, I don't think that's made up. Yeah. Treylon Burks came in great shape.
He did.
He did the, you know, Karski had the story on him, you know, getting here in time for like OTAs, yeah, or whatever it was. OTAs or minicamp, whatever.
Tannehill flying him in on the plane?
Yeah, I mean.
Unconfirmed?
I mean, he's tried to do all the right things. He knew everything he was doing and was making plays left and right in practice. It does matter. It's how you get yourself to be in a game is by performing in practice. So, I mean, he had all the right stuff going on in the preseason, the offseason, and you starting with that awkward fall in Minnesota, but then just this and that, and then performance just has been very disappointing.
Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as we approach week 11 of college football, week 10 of the NFL. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation. What about Okonkwo? How should the Titans be feeling about the tight end position as they move forward here? We'll get into all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders kicking off at 2:30 at home against FIU. Pre-game beginning at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. So, Joe, we've discussed the Treylon Burks part of this. What about Okonkwo? Now, to me, it's less important just based on the position. Like, I'll take the productive wide receiver over the productive tight end, unless it's, you know, Travis Kelce out there. But other than that, I'm going with the wide receiver. Okonkwo, he's been available this year, so that's been good. That's different than the Burks conversation. 24 catches, only 173 yards, no touchdowns for Okonkwo to this point. That part of it bothers me because I feel like Okonkwo, we talked about the red zone. I feel like Okonkwo should be a heck of a weapon for you in the red zone based on, you know, the speed that he brings to the table at that position, the size, all those things. And they've just, it doesn't even feel like they've really gone to him in the red zone this year. And when they have gone to him in the passing game, there just hadn't been much. I mean, his season high for a yardage total this year is actually the Chargers game. He had 4 catches for 35 yards. You know, Levis got into a groove with him where he hit a couple passes in a row in the 2-minute drive the other day. But Okonkwo ends up with 3 catches for 28 yards against Pittsburgh. I thought, based on some of the big plays that he made last season, that, you know, I didn't think he was going to be like an elite tight end or anything like that. But I thought you could see another significant step forward from Chig Okonkwo this year. And we just really haven't seen that for the most part in the passing game. So, I guess, first off, what have you thought of the way that Chig has played so far? Keep in mind his rookie year, 32 catches, 450 yards, 3 touchdowns. Right now, 24 catches, 173 yards, no touchdowns. He averaged 14 yards a reception last year. It's at 7.2 this year. It's cut in half. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and early last year, he was actually, if you go game by game last year, it was like he'd have one big play. He'd have like a 40-yarder, and then that'd be it. So his average per catch, you know, maybe got inflated a little bit by that. But, well, yeah, it's been a disappointment, like I said earlier. There's another practice guy. And the practice, the Burks and Chig practice players are amazing. And this is where fans can be like, well, I'm just not going to listen to you anymore about how guys look in practice. And I get it, but there's still – I think more examples of you see what someone does in practice and then you do see it translate. I think with Chig, some of it is probably related to the offensive line. It's just like when Jonnu Smith was having that huge year in 2020 and then Taylor Lewan goes down and all of a sudden Jonnu's production took a pretty significant hit from there. And I don't think it's a coincidence, right? I mean, I think there's some of it is just Chig being needed to help with that. But I'm with you. The red zone is where he should be performing and making plays. And I'm not saying it's just on him, but it's on all of them to figure out how to utilize him, because he is a mismatch in a lot of matchups. So he's also dropped some passes that are surprising this year. You know, it's been surprising to see that. It's just, so his performance hasn't been great, but I think also they need to, you know, use him more. I do feel like we're seeing a little bit more, and maybe Levis and Chig will get a nice connection going. But so far it's been disappointing. I mean, he's probably going to have about the same production if he stays on this pace. And I think, you know, the Titans were hoping more for like a 5, 6, 700 yard season from him.
So we were just going through the draft needs for the Titans, right? And there's still way more information to collect this year with Levis at quarterback and all those things. So, you know, the information's not done. The equation's not over by any stretch. But we listed all these different positions. I think it's pretty clear the Titans are probably going to need heading into next offseason. How do you view tight end with what they have right now with Okonkwo, and they just drafted Josh Wiley? You know, it's not going to be, I think, top priority for the Titans. But are you comfortable with where they are right now with their tight ends? Or do they need to look at that this offseason as well?
Yeah, Wiley's a big part of the answer there. I think Wiley can be pretty good. So I just, you can't, like you said, you can't do everything. There's going to be way more pressing needs, especially if we're right about Fulton moving on. So I think they're, you know, probably going to go what they've done, which is try to find an undrafted guy or maybe low pick or something like that. But, you know, Wiley got good size for sure. He has demonstrated the ability to catch the ball a little bit. You know, they need him to keep making it. And he could be a red zone in a different way from Chig. You know, in the red zone, that's a guy who posts somebody up, and it's hard to get around him. And they've used him that way a couple times, but I think you could see more of that. So, yeah, it's down the list just because the list is so long.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, bud? Hey, it's weird, man. Like, I'm not like a talent evaluator or anything, and I know these guys have way more skills at that than me, but it was a hot take of mine at the beginning of the year that, because there was so much pressure on Chig, it was like, he's going to be a stud. I'm like, he's done nothing to show you that he's going to be a stud. And then, like, first preseason game, he comes out and has two bad routes or something, and drops the ball. I'm like, this guy has, like, so much unnecessary pressure on him from, you know, to be a later pick. And but you look across the league, man, every team that's good right now has a good tight end. And so I think for development of our young quarterback, I mean, can you imagine him with, like, a Delanie Walker just sitting there waiting on him? That would be the best thing for a young quarterback. And, you know, honestly, I feel like, if we could have hung on to him a year later, that Tannehill could have really benefited from him too. So I don't know, man. I don't think – I hear you talk about Wiley. He's not exactly like Victor Wembanyama tall. He's just tall, man. Like, I haven't seen anything from him either. So I don't know. I don't think we have the future of tight end on our team right now.
Yep, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, everybody wants the stud tight end. That's the game now. The tight ends get used in the passing game more than they ever had. So everybody's looking for that game-breaker tight end. I think it's clear the Titans probably don't have that. Like, I think Wiley could be a good player. I still think Chig can be a good player. I mean, I think he's got some ability to him that we saw last year. He can be really tough to tackle. That's been, I guess, probably the most disappointing part of it. And I don't have, like, numbers in front of me to prove this. It just feels like he's gone down a little bit easier this year than he did a year ago, and maybe that's the way they're using him. Maybe that's, you know, partly due to how bad the offensive line is. I don't know what the reason is for that, but I do feel like he's got some special skills there where it felt like last year he was really difficult to bring down with the football, and we just really haven't seen that much this year from Chig. So I know everybody wants, like, the stud tight end. I'm not even really asking for that from the Titans. It needs to be – better than it's been so far this year to help out your rookie quarterback.
Yeah, no, and Adam may be right. You know, look, let's say the Titans. Well, it's okay. No, I was going to say, my goodness, this is exactly. I just pulled up a mock draft, and I hate to pull up any mock drafts. Right
oh
now.
Boy,
but let's say the Titans do pick 10. That's where they are right now, and the offensive tackles that everybody's talking about, Olu Fashanu, the Penn State guy,
yep.
and they're talking about Joe Alt, the Notre Dame guy,
yep.
right? Well, let's say those guys are gone, but Brock Bowers is sitting there.
Yeah, I'm drafting Brock Bowers.
You're drafting Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he would be, I would imagine, not knowing who else is around then, probably the best football player on the board would be my guess.
You could have someone like Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Malik Nabers, wide receiver. You could go wide receiver.
I'll go Bowers.
Egbuka? Gosh, Ohio State. What if Ohio State gets two receivers picked in the top 15 again?
It's hard for me to compare somebody to Travis Kelce because I think that's probably unfair, but doesn't Bowers feel like he could be in that realm in the NFL?
Yeah. No, yes. Yeah, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. It's just like, man, the needs are so
I know
severe elsewhere. But you got that you do have to go with your board. So if number one on the Titans board, which I would think he might be, because he is a heck of a football player.
Yes.
There we go. All right, we've gone mock draft.
We're
gonna
start going draft. It's November 9th.
It's November 9th, we're going mock draft.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans and NFL with him. Preds coach Andrew Burnett joining the show at 8:30 live from Winnipeg. Preds taking on the Jets tonight to close out their 5-game road trip. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Kokomo putting me in a nice tropical mood. It was warm this morning when I got up. It's good stuff. Rex Road, the floor is yours.
I haven't ranted about Kokomo, you know, much. But I'm glad to remind everyone, it's a terrible, terrible song.
Right.
It almost ruins the Beach Boys' legacy completely.
No, it's good.
It's terrible. Just terrible. So I'm excited about Tennessee, Missouri Saturday. I don't know about you.
I am too.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Why am I excited? Well, two really good teams. You got a couple coaches that like to, you know, get a little bit feisty and pretty good coaches. Got young programs, you know, building up. Got a lot of talent on the field.
Programs,
yeah. Tennessee has put 1,407 yards up on Missouri in the past 2 years, including 722 rushing yards in the past 2 years.
There is that.
So I'm thinking Missouri at home in front of a sold-out crowd is going to be pretty motivated to – you know, to change that a little bit. And you know, we just saw Missouri almost win at Georgia, and that's a legit good team. Tennessee has become a good team. They both improved. But basically the stakes are, like, who gets to go to the freaking Capital One Bowl or the Citrus Bowl, whatever you want to call it. You know what would be a lot cooler? It'd be a lot cooler if it was 1 year from now and they were both in the playoff race. And it's time for you to acknowledge – that this game would be way better a year from now, which is part of why college football will be way better a year from now, where we have a 12-team playoff.
So what you're saying is you like regular season games that are de facto playoff games, like it's what we have now in a 14 playoff, when we have more regular season games that are de facto playoff games because the stakes are higher.
That's
what you're saying.
I like more games that matter.
Okay.
Here's a game that
matter. So you like it now because more games matter now because there are more playoff games because the stakes are higher. In the regular season.
Wait, what?
There are more the stakes are higher in the regular season because there is a 4-team playoff. Okay. So we already have these de facto playoff games. Georgia, Missouri, the other day. It's a playoff game for Missouri. So, I mean, we have these already.
But we have but we're going to have more. So a game like this, which is yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. I'm excited for the game.
The path is still there for the SEC title game for Tennessee. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well,
Lane Kiffin's going in there on Saturday, and he's going to show Georgia who's boss.
Well, that would be something. So let's play that out. Let's say he does. And let's say Tennessee wins at Missouri, and Tennessee and Tennessee beats Georgia. Okay, right. See, Tennessee's 13th now. Tennessee beats Georgia now. Of course, the problem is Georgia losing to Ole Miss makes that win a lot less impressive and valuable.
Tennessee's still not getting
Tennessee, yeah. And then Tennessee,
there's no path to the
rematch with Alabama.
Yeah,
beats Alabama.
They're not getting in.
Right. So
I'll think.
No,
well, I mean, that would be a pretty impressive stretch. But
it would be a pretty impressive stretch. It would actually, it probably would get them to about 7, maybe even 6. Like, you know,
maybe get like 5th.
Yeah, maybe.
Depending on what else happens.
Yeah, depending on what else happens. I'm just saying, I'm excited for next year when this game means the loser is out and the winner is still in. Not in. You're not in the playoff. But if
you're alive.
But if Tennessee were to win this game, then next week, Georgia's coming in, and basically, like, you are playing to get in the playoff. Because then you know it's Vanderbilt. You're not going to Atlanta.
Right.
So you are playing Georgia. Look, next week's going to be a great atmosphere in Neyland Stadium, no matter what happens. Like, it's going to be packed. It's going to be I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
But if it was for the playoff, oh, boy, would it be something else in that stadium. And let's see, who else is out there? I mean, Oklahoma right now is still playing. Well, Oklahoma, their season means nothing now. They play West Virginia this week. Who gives a crap? Well, that would matter. I mean, I can't say USC.
No.
Oregon State would matter. Oklahoma State just won in Bedlam, beat Oklahoma. Huge win.
What's their record?
They're 7-2. They're 15th.
Okay.
You know, they're hugely playing. They're playing for a lot. Utah's still alive, playing for a lot. I would look at, like, a team that I look at has one loss that I don't think has a legitimate chance to be in the playoff is Louisville. Sorry, Jared Stillman. But that team,
Louisville,
that team, the rest of the season for them is huge. Kentucky can ruin them and knock them out. I mean, there's just
Right. Now, this also, and this gets back to the part of this where you and I will probably never agree.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to see – I don't care. If you've lost two games – like, Tennessee's not a playoff team this year. They're not a playoff team. So, regardless of me being a Tennessee fan
– but they are next year.
Well, but, they're not – Tennessee, based on the season they've had to this year, should not have an opportunity to compete for a national championship. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's where you and I are probably never going to see eye to eye on that, which is fine. But – that's what makes college football great to me. Like, it requires you to be great to compete for a national championship. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah. Well, it used to.
Well, it used to. It's about to go away.
The problem is, you know, when you did the playoff, I mean, I would honestly, I would go back to, although the computer rankings are the problem, but like the BCS, I feel like conference championships and all those things and being in a big bowl game.
Yeah.
Mattered a lot more when we had a BCS. Why is that? I don't know. But for whatever reason, once we went to a committee picking four teams, it just became everything.
Yep.
And so now all the other things about college football just don't matter as much. So to me, then you have to make the playoff more inclusive, which you are. Good job.
It's happening.
Yay! We win.
It is happening.
The good guys win.
Caleb on the text line says, if Tennessee does that, they are 100% in the playoff, talking about they beat Missouri, get to the SEC title game, and beat Georgia and Alabama.
No.
I don't think so. Definitely not 100%.
No, my God, no. Caleb, I mean, if Florida State wins out, they're undefeated. They're not over Florida State. If Michigan and Ohio State, one of them's undefeated, they're not over that team.
I mean, if one of them has one loss, are they over that team? I don't know.
Washington, Oregon? Washington, Oregon? I mean, certainly whoever wins that game, Tennessee's not over that team.
Right.
Yeah. Nah, man. The two
There's
losses.
There's not a path to the playoffs.
Yeah. The loss to Florida is just terrible.
Right. If you were to beat Florida,
damaging.
You would still have
just
a chance.
Just beat that crappy team, and you're in there right now.
Exactly.
Like, but this is why it's good, Robbie, because teams do improve a lot during the season. I've seen teams that were dog doo-doo in September that were so much better in November, and so now we have a path for those teams that improve. Some teams don't. Some teams don't improve a ton in the middle of a season. Some teams get worse. But teams that do improve a ton and have an early stumble, now they have an opportunity, and that's how it should be.
I'm of the belief
Life
September football also matters.
Yeah, it matters. It doesn't not
Take
matter.
Take care of the games on your schedule.
Yeah.
That's what it means to me.
Yeah, it's all right. 12-team playoff. Yay.
I'll love this when we get back to when this eventually gets to and the TV moguls take over. and it's an NCAA March Madness style of playoff for college football, I'm going to look directly at you. I'm going to say, you did this. This is your fault. They got a 64-team college football playoff. What are we doing?
That'd be wild. I mean, I'd be okay with that if you have like a 7-game regular season schedule.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think's more mad, me about college football playoff expanding, or if they expand the NCAA tournament for to have like 100 teams in basketball?
I mean, no, that's the thing. That, you know, college football has been imperfect forever, and they should play for – some people never wanted a national champ. Who cares? It's not what it's about. College basketball's had a perfect system for a long time. It's like we're like 40 years now of basically the perfect event. So you don't mess with that. You don't mess with that. College football, they're still fumbling around trying to figure it out. But it's a much more popular sport. But college basketball, that's why there's any popularity.
So you would be more mad.
Yes.
I think that's what we discovered. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be on the road to take on UT Martin with a 5:30 p.m. tip-off, and pregame begins at 4 o'clock. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan, the 94.9 The Fan app, and at 94.9thefan.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.